This is Digital Story Podcast number 809, September 21st, 2021. Today's theme is Photography's Final Flurry of Summer. I'm Derek Story. Canon, Apple, and GoPro close out our sizzling rampage of announcements at the end of summer. What a wild couple of weeks it has been. Today we're going to take a look at the final fruit of the season, then turn our eyes to what autumn and the close of the year might bring. I hope you enjoy the show. Well, we had five things to talk about last week that were, yes, new announcements. And I have five more this week. I mean, it has been busy. Fun stuff last week and some really fun stuff this week as well. We're going to start out with the Canon EOS R3 mirrorless digital camera. Yes, that was the big dog, right? We knew it was coming and it has arrived. Now, essentially, this camera that we're talking about, the R3, I think the most important thing about it is that we are moving into the last stronghold of DSLRdom. In other words, you know, the Olympics, the Tokyo Olympics, are a perfect example of where DSLRs with their lenses and their rapid, you know, frame rate and all the things that they can do, able to connect via Ethernet, all the good stuff in the pro models, you know, that was one thing that mirrorless just wasn't quite there yet. And now with the Canon EOS R3, mirrorless cameras are right there. So what does that mean for DSLRs? Well, only time will tell. But now with the R3, we are seeing a professional level camera that is mirrorless. And, you know, there's a lot of things going on with this. It's a 24 megapixel stacked sensor, full frame BSI CMOS sensor, a Digic 10 processor. So that helps boost the overall speed for up to 30 frames a second for continuous shooting with the electronic shutter. It does 6K video, 60p, 4K at 120p. Wow, that's smoking, right? And dual pixel CMOS 2 autofocus with eye control. So that it has eye control. They brought eye control back from the SLR days. And a couple pieces I've read about it, it works. It works. So basically, you're looking through the viewfinder, you direct your eye to what you want in focus, and the camera follows suit. Crazy stuff, right? So what else do we have here? Oh, sensor shift image stabilization 5-axis. Yay, yay. A 5.76 million dot electronic viewfinder with 120 frames per second refresh. That's really nice. In other words, when you're looking through this electronic viewfinder, motion is motion, right? No stuttering, no messing around. I'm sure it's beautiful. I'd love to look through the OLED electronic viewfinder and just see how the world looks through that baby. You also get a vari-angle LCD, 4.15 million dot resolution. Yay! I mean, there's a lot of dots going on here. Dual memory card slots, but slot one is a CF Express, and then slot two is SD card with UHS-II connectivity. Now, it has a built-in GPS module, which is very nice. I like that. And it can shoot natively in HEIF. So it has JPEG, it has RAW, and then you can shoot also natively in high efficiency too, which, you know, these days, you know, HEIF is pretty much supported by all the major apps. It is better than JPEG, and I think that was a very smart move incorporating that in this camera. It has a crazy amount of connectivity. You can do Ethernet, it's got Wi-Fi, Bluetooth. They've got modules so you can, you know, do FTP server thing directly from the camera. I mean, all that stuff that you would want to do during the Olympics or Super Bowl or some kind of major event like that. Now, the whole package comes in at 2 pounds, so it's not a lightweight. It has a built-in vertical grip, and the body alone sells for $5,999. In the world of pro bodies, that's about what you would expect. And I think that this camera is going to do very well. And I think for those photographers that have been hanging on to their pro model DSLRs because they need all that functionality for the type of work they do, I think the R3 is going to be a very tempting camera. Now, something for the rest of us, right? For those of us that don't need a $6,000 pro body to do our work, Canon also announced the RF 16mm f2.8 STM lens for $299. Now, there are two great lenses in today's lineup, or two fun lenses, both affordably priced. This is the first one, but I love this. This is a 16mm f2.8 for full frame, and it's this cool little, it's not very big, it's compact, it's lightweight, has a decent maximum aperture. It's rectilinear, ultra-wide, so, you know, the image is very nice with it. It's not fisheye at all. It has one aspherical element to help control distortion and promotes a high degree of sharpness. It's got super spectra coating to minimize flare and ghosting. What else does it have here? It has a STM stepping motor and accurate autofocus performance, ideal for video recording as well as still shooting. The minimum focusing distance is 5.1 inches, maximum magnification of 0.26x, so you can get nice and close with it and get that big depth of field. It sounds really fun. And then it has a configurable control ring, so that can adjust to a variety of exposure settings, including aperture, ISO, exposure compensation, all the stuff that we've come to expect from a control ring, and a 7-blade diaphragm. So you get all of this, a 16mm compact prime lens, state-of-the-art lens technology, $299, works on full-frame cameras from Canon. Yeah, everyone I know is really waiting for, you know, the R3, and they should be. I mean, this is a camera that was needed if we're going to keep moving mirrorless forward. I'm pretty jazzed about the 16mm f2.8 lens. That is cool, and hats off Canon for, you know, giving something for everyone. And there were other goodies too as well. I'm not covering them right now, but there were a lot of accessories for the R3 that, you know, really, you know, right out of the chute makes it usable for professional use. So wireless controller. They had one where you can use your smartphone to send images, but it's Android only connector. A lot of cool stuff. Canon has done some good work at the end of summer here. Now, on the same day that Canon made their announcements, Apple made theirs as well. And to no one's surprise whatsoever, the iPhone 13, and I'm going to talk specifically about the 13 Pro and the Pro Max. Now, I'll tell you right off the top, if you're wondering, you know, is this an iPhone for me? In terms of photography. And I would say that if you have a 12, I would say no for most folks. You know, obviously some people have to have the latest and greatest, but I say if you have a 12, not so much. If you have 11, it could go either way depending on what your needs are. If you have a 10, iPhone 10, then this might be a phone that you want to look at because there's a lot of stuff here. First of all, it's fast. It has the A15 Bionic chip. It increases performance compared to the iPhone 12 Pro and Pro Max. The triple camera array on the back of the camera features three lenses, the 77mm equivalent, 13mm equivalent, and the 26mm equivalent. So you get the three lens again. There's been some upgrading with those lenses and with that module overall. So again, I'm not sure how much you would actually see in the pictures if you had them side by side with the 12, but again, they're continuing to do a lot of work under the hood. One new feature that's getting a lot of discussion is a cinematic mode. Let me read you here what is said about it. I think this is from DP Review, and I have the link to it in show notes. This new feature, limited to 1080p at 30 frames per second, uses AI and Apple's depth mapping technology to track subjects and rack focus automatically, with the ability to change the depth of field even after shooting, just as you can with the still photo portrait mode. You can also refocus the video after the fact. So, wow. So this is really cool. I love it in still photography, you know, where we can change the depth of field in post. If we shoot in portrait mode, Apple is now bringing this to video, and what they're allowing to do, let's say there's a two-person shot in post, you can have, like, for instance, the focus is on one person and then the other person has an expression or starts talking. In post, you can move the focus to the other person. Isn't that nice? Yeah, it's not. You don't have to do it in real time. A lot of people are excited about this. I don't shoot that much video, and I don't shoot top level video with my iPhone. So I'm curious about it, bringing more computational photography to video. Definitely want to see it demonstrated. Not something that would make me go out and buy this particular phone or camera, however you want to look at it these days. Apple's also showing off its photographic styles, which seems to be a more intelligent version of picture styles you typically use on a DSLR mirrorless or point-shoot camera. When snapping a photo, you can choose between four different presets, which you can tweak to fit your specific editing preferences. When the shutter is pressed, the iPhone will then include your personal style in its image processing pipeline to give you the best image possible straight out of the camera. I could see this being useful. Honestly, I could. Because let's say that you get your styles tweaked to your liking, and you say, okay, normally, we'll just take a portrait. I like, you know, X amount of softness in the background, or I like this kind of lighting on the face, whatever options you happen to have. And you can dial those in ahead of time and then just pick that. Now, the picture's already going to be good, right? Because it's computational photography. It's an iPhone. But then beyond being good, it's customized for how you like your pictures to look, you know, doing in real time what you would probably be doing in post. So I'm very curious about photographic styles. It's something that I would definitely like to play with and learn more about. You get a big bump on battery with both of these, the 13 Pro and the Pro Max. The Pro will last 1.5 hours longer and the Pro Max 2.5 hours longer than the 12s. So, wow. That is a that's a pretty big bump. And again, if you're using an iPhone 10 right now, you go to the 13 Pro or the Pro Max, we're talking about increase in battery time over the 12. Imagine how it would be over the 10. So you can pre-order them starting September 17th, which was a few days ago, at $999 and $1099 respectively. They're in four colors, graphite, gold, silver, and Sierra blue. And storage options range from 128 gigabytes up to now 1 terabyte. So they got rid of the 64 gigabyte model. So 128 is the base now, and you can go all the way up to 1 terabyte. Very nice, okay? This is the first time, by the way, that an iPhone's been offered with 1 terabyte of storage. The Apple train keeps rolling down the tracks. As I said, if you have a 12, you know, you can just watch and enjoy your friend's 13, right? Unless you really need some of these things. 11s on the bubble. 10s, man, I would start saving my pennies and think about getting this, because this looks like a very good phone. All right, number four, we get a goodie from Nikon, the Nikkor Z 40 millimeter f2 lens for $297. Where I mentioned that we get two lenses in this batch, this flurry at the end of summer. Now, you know, if you've been listening to the show at all, how much I love 40 millimeter lenses. And if you have a full frame Z, a full frame Nikon Z, you can get a 40 millimeter f2, right? F2 maximum aperture, very nice for $297, and it looks like it's a terrific lens. It's a compact portable form factor. You can use it on the DX format camera body. So if you have, for example, the ZFC, then you have a 60 millimeter lens on there, which is, again, a very useful focal length. It has smooth focusing using a stepping motor, so it's good for both stills and video. It has a programmable control ring. Of course it does, right? So you can make some specific adjustments there. And the lens will be shipping soon, all right? So I didn't get an exact date when this lens is shipping, but I have a feeling it's going to be before too long. And by the way, speaking of shipping, I don't think I mentioned that the R3 starts shipping at the end of November. And I'm guessing that the 16 millimeter will be sometime between now and then as well. The Pro Max can get now, the iPhone, and then this Nikkor lens should be pretty soon. But again, I love it that we're getting both the high-end lenses that you want to pay a lot of money for, and then these cool little primes that you can just slip in your pocket, get them for $300, and have a very good picture taker, right, with these lenses, and have some fun. Thank you, Nikon, for that nice little gift at the end of summer. And finally, our fifth one, the GoPro Hero 10 Black for $499. Updating their flagship action camera with a 23 megapixel sensor, a new G2 chip design to enhance functionality. The Hero 10 Black from GoPro adds more speed, performance, touch control responsiveness, higher frame rates, rounding out this full-featured action camera. You get 5.3K at 60 frames, 4K at 120 frames, 2.7K at 240 frames, and 23 megapixel photos. So pretty good stuff there. The front display, which the previous Hero model showed status information, is now larger, 1.4 inches, and offers a live view. So that's really great if you're vlogging or doing some sort of selfie action, right? The HyperSmooth 4.0 digital image stabilization with in-camera horizon leveling lets you produce even smoother, more stable videos without a gimbal. Always nice. Oh, it lets you use it as a webcam for 1080p full HD live streaming. So it's a nice little camera, shipping for $499. It's shipping now, so you can just run right over and get it. I have the synopsis, and I have the links to them, and I have all the good stuff in the show notes. So a pretty fun final flurry for the summer. Pretty impressed with this lineup, starting out with the Canon R3, that really cool 16mm f2.8 lens, iPhone 13 Pro and Pro Max, the Nikon 40mm f2, and the GoPro Hero 10 Black, $499. All right, so now we have closed out summer. We're in the fall. We're going toward the end of the year. And what kind of things do we think we're going to see? Well, to tell you the truth, I'm not sure how much more we're going to see. If you look at what Nikon has come out with, I know they're working on a pro body. Honestly, I'm not sure we're going to see that by the end of the year. I feel like they've made the bulk of their announcements for now, and they're having a hard time with production as it is. Canon obviously has made their big splash. Fujifilm, as we talked about last week, has put out a lot of things. So that leaves us really with one more that's just hanging out there that has been kind of quiet. All we've heard about is lenses. Who am I talking about? Yes, OM Digital Olympus. Maybe, just maybe, before the end of the year, we'll get a camera announcement from Olympus. That would be the one thing that I think we might see. Not ruling out that Nikon could make their announcement as well, or something that I just don't see coming. The one I'm going to hold out hope for is Olympus. That would put a bow on the gift for 2021 if they were able to do that. We'll see, and if they do, of course, I'll be reporting on it here. Thank you. I got kind of a cool thing from IKEA here. Yes, IKEA. There's no way I'm going to be able to say the product name here because it's IKEA. I'll spell it for you, though. It's S-J-O, umlauts over the O, M-A-R-K-E, umlauts over the A. So however you say that, it goes under surfaces for invisible wireless charging. Now, this thing is kind of neat. So what IKEA has come up with is this wireless charger. Now, it's a 5-watt charger, so it's not going to break any speed records, but you can put it underneath a table or underneath a surface, hide the cord, you know, you have a little, some sort of mark or some way to know where the charger is, top side. And so now you can have this very clean and very clean IKEA style room where you just set your phone or your AirPods, whatever you happen to have, you know, down in this spot, and it can be charging while you're reading a book or watching TV or having your meal, whatever you're doing. I love this idea. I really do. I love it. It's a $40 device. It's going to be available in stores and online starting October, so not too far away. Petapixel did a little write-up about it. Let me just read you a few things that they said. IKEA has been adding more function and style to the ever-expanding lineup of work-from-home furniture and accessories in its arsenal. The company's new, however you say that, wireless QI charging pad will bring wireless charging to nearly any wood or plastic-based surface in a home. According to the instruction manual, the device is designed to mount underneath surfaces for which you'd like to hide cables in order to keep the room looking neat and minimalist. Unlike most other wireless charging stations, which require users to place their rechargeable devices on a mat or charge station, the 7-inch by 3-inch charger hides beneath a table or shelf using double-sided adhesive strips or screws should buyers want to make it permanent, creating an invisible wireless charging station. Isn't that cool? I just love this. I want one. I'm going to ask for one for holidays, for Christmas. This would be at $40, something that I'd really like. I already know where I want to put it. And I just think it would be so cool to have. So it'll be available October 2021 with a price tag of $40. Right on, IKEA. I love this. Can't wait to try it. Just want to mention our writing workshop coming up in December. Still have a couple seats open for this. Writing for artists who want to publish or just get better. This is a workshop designed for you to be able to hang out with other writers, share your work, improve your chops, your nonfiction writing. You can use it for work. You can use it for your blog. You can use it for publishing places like Medium.com. Whatever you have your sights set on. The nice thing about writing workshops is that not only do you have an instructor to help you and provide tips, that would be me, but you also have other writers. And other writers are very good at sharing information, thoughts, ideas, tips, maybe things the instructor would never even think of. And you just have this group and you have a little community and you have a place to hang out. And, you know, writers sometimes are very isolated. Photographers sometimes are very isolated, but writers are even more so often. And this is a chance in a very safe environment to work on your craft and to share it with other people. Starts in December. You can go to thenimblephotographer.com. You can sign up for it there. There's a link to it in the show notes. And I can't wait for this one to start. Pre-orders available for Luminar Neo. Now, I don't know if you've been tracking this, but this is pretty interesting. What Luminar Neo is next generation of their AI-powered software. And they want to bring layers to photographers who want to use the functionality of layers but haven't really liked how they're implemented in other applications. Let me read you a little bit about what Skylum says about this product that, by the way, you can pre-order as of today. Here we go. Layers let you combine two or more images and manipulate them to achieve your desired effect. They have portrait background removal. AI allows you to remove an unwanted background from your portrait in seconds, thanks to artificial intelligence. Relight AI is a tool for controlling the light in your photos based on image depth as determined by the artificial intelligence, allowing you to easily and effortlessly fix photos that need lighting. And Mask AI allows you to easily detect and select elements of your photo for precise control over how the tools are applied. So those are the highlights for Luminar Neo. The pricing here, let me see. If you're new to Skylum, you can pre-order it because you're not going to see it, they said, until winter. You can pre-order it for $65 for a one-seat license of Luminar Neo or $76 for a two-seat license, okay? If you want to get Luminar AI and Neo together, $94 for a one-seat license. This is the pre-order pricing. $115 for two-seat license for Luminar Neo plus Luminar AI. And like I said, they said it should be available in the winter. That's pretty broad brushstroke there. Pre-order and forget about it, and they'll let you know when it's ready. I have a link in the show notes if you want to go over there and take a look. But this is what they've been working on. This is what Skylum's been working on, Luminar Neo. And you're going to now be able to start combining images and doing that kind of Photoshop stuff, but with a lot of artificial intelligence. Horsepower should be fun to see how it plays out. Right, let's take care of a little virtual camera club news. A big thanks to our Inner Circle members. These are the folks that really kind of help us keep the ship sailing in the right direction. Been getting some feedback from them about workshops and what we want to do in the upcoming 2022 season. I'm still trying to get my head around it. I thought, honestly, that we would be clear of the pandemic by now and that 2022 would be clear sailing. That isn't quite the case yet, so I'm, you know, kind of remixing it a little bit. And our Inner Circle members are helping me with that process just to make sure that what I remix tastes good, right? Tastes good. So you'll be hearing more about online and physical workshops before too long for 2022. We continue trying to choose the best path forward, mixing my metaphors today. Inner Circle members also keep this podcast on the air and they keep the community moving forward financially. A big thanks to our Inner Circle members. And if you're interested in becoming part of this elite group of artists, all you have to do is click on the Patreon tile that's on every page of the Digital Story. Go over, take a look at the site, see what you think, and hopefully you'll join us. We want you to be part of this group. And this group is what helps this community keep thriving. Big thanks, Inner Circle members. And speaking of big thanks, I want to tip my hat to the folks at Red River Paper. I just got a new box of ink cartridges today for my Canon. I'm still using the Pro 100. It's a good printer. It's a very good printer. And I have some big prints that I need to do. And right as I started to print on, what day was it? Oh, Sunday, I wanted to do some printing. And doggone it, I fired the thing up and three of the cartridges went bone dry on me. I must have not been paying attention at the end of the last printing session. And I have to tell you, it's frustrating when you're all psyched up and you're ready to go, and then you can't print because in my case, you don't have your ink cartridges. But you could also be in the same situation with paper and you're all ready to go and you go, oh man, I'm all out of my favorite luster surface. I don't have it. Or you open up the box and there's one sheet in there and you've got like 10 prints you want to make. My recommendation is now, before you get to crunch time of the holiday seasons, check your supplies, check your ink, check your paper supply. And you know, you can get them both at Red River Paper. All you have to do is click on the tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story. You know, go over there, take a look at what's going on. Stock up now so that when the mood strikes, you're ready to go. And a big thanks to Red River Paper for supporting this podcast. They also have a rockin' Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. All right, it's going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed the final fruits of summer. I'm working on some more good stuff for next week. Make sure you come back and join me. Until then, stay safe, be creative. See you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.